Good to be here. It's a real privilege to walk with this church at a really creative and important time in your life. I spend half of my working week working with local churches that are seeking new ministers. I had an induction yesterday just to prove I can do it at Caversham, which was brilliant and fires me up and excites me and made a fantastic settlement there, Caversham near Reading. And interestingly, I'm walking with you, but also a little church, Abbey Baptist Church in the middle of Reading. I preached there a couple of weeks ago. I think there were 15 people there. It's a little church, but they're seeking a minister as well. Challenging circumstances. A church that's been staggeringly fruitful through the years. I think they've planted out 26 different churches. That's amazing, isn't it? But circumstances are different, and they have a number of ethnic congregations that now meet there, a Tamil congregation, Ghanaian congregation, just added a Portuguese congregation, and there's an English congregation. It's the one I preached to. So that's part of my life. Another part of my life, just to say, because I mentioned it last time I was here, is I'm an ambassador for Premier Radio. Premier's an amazing platform. 1.2 million people listen to Premier Radio every week. They also produce Christianity magazine and Youth and Children's Work magazine, really high quality magazines. If you don't take them, I do commend them to you. They do cost £5 a go if you just buy them as a one-off. Free copies are here today. Please do take a copy if you'd find that helpful. Last time I was here, I mentioned the Bible reading notes, and these are available for this quarter if you'd find that helpful. But thank you so much for the opportunity of preaching about generosity. Interesting subject. And it takes us right to the heart of God and our calling as his people. So it's a big subject. I don't know if you've had the experience I've had, I'm sure many of you have, of sharing in a door-to-door collection. If you want to know about giving, this is a great way of getting an insight on what actually happens. I've interestingly gone out for a local hospice on a few occasions, and also been out for Christian Aid, knocking on doors. And you get a whole range of response from those who absolutely don't want to meet you, and the relationship is very brief, and it's, you know, it's a free country, and that's fair enough. Rarely a slam door, always exciting when there is, but rarely that. More common is the person who comes to the front door, really smiley, you know, they're nice people, and they say, yeah, I'm sure I've got some small change somewhere. And I'm thinking, I never brought up the subject of small change. I was looking for something substantial. Anyway, they shout in the house, anybody got any small change? As if, you know, we know this is the way of getting rid of this ghastly man. And then there are the people, and there are the people, and often the people who say, thank you so much for coming. I'd love to give something to support you. And they give something and they wish you well on your way. Very interesting. Just this whole spectrum of responses to giving. Well, today's reading, which was staggering, wasn't it, was the lavish generosity of David. As we look at David in this series, the lavish generosity of David. So they're going to build a temple for God. This is a major moment. Here is the place where God will dwell amongst them. We're not thinking New Testament terms, we're thinking Old Testament terms. This is the place where God dwells, where the Holy of Holies will be. And David is ridiculously generous, incredibly generous. I mean, we can't think in these terms. We're not as wealthy as David, but amazing generosity. But what interests me is David's reflection on what he's doing, because he realizes that what he is giving is actually only giving back to God the stuff that first came from God. It's not as if he can somehow impress God. He's given so much. It all came from God in the first place. Let's just hear those verses again. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we've given you only what comes from your hand. And I just want to remind you, as we go on a little journey in the next few minutes, I want to remind you that God is always generous. That's the God whom we worship today. And that's a crucial insight. That's a practical insight for each of us. That God has only ever been generous to you. That's his nature. It takes me to Luke 11. Those wonderful verses where Jesus gives some very clear teaching about prayer. And Jesus speaks to, let me just call it up, he speaks to his disciples about the importance of prayer. He gives them the Lord's Prayer. He gives them a parable about it. And then he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. This is our God, the generous God. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, he says, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I lived in India for 2 years. And I just assumed, forgive me, I just assumed that because there are loads of snakes in India, that people got used to them. And it's just sort of a regular part of life and they take it in their stride. Not a bit of it. You go to India, they are terrified of snakes. I can remember seeing a snake, I could see the snake, on a station platform close to where I lived. You should have seen people leaping around all over. It was funny, really, not being so serious. Strange sense of humour. People are leaping around because of this really quite small snake. I learned the more I lived there, the reason for this was because actually we quite often in the area had deaths from snake bites. Quite common. Certainly every month or so there will be a snake in the area. There will be a snake. So which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? You wouldn't do that. Daft as you may be, I don't know. Tell me your story later. But, I mean, if your son asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. Instead, if you asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Scorpions are nasty little what's-its. I tell you. Whereas they may not kill you, and normally don't, which is reassuring, isn't it? They give you such a bite that you might well regret you were ever alive. I mean, they're nasty. And for those of you who've not lived in the tropics, when you sit down, anywhere, when you sit down, you will check up to make sure there isn't any wildlife around you because it's a continual threat. Those of you who've lived in the tropics know exactly what I'm talking about, and especially when you go into a small room and... No, let's not go there. But, I mean, you will check up when you sit down in dark places that there isn't wildlife around. If your son asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. Here's the logic. This is typical rabbinic teaching. If you then, though you're evil, obviously... If, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, your perfect Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you get the point? What he's saying is, even though we're failed parents, you know, we're not perfect, we manage to give good gifts to our children. That's what we do. So if we get it right, how certain we can be that our Heavenly Father will give his best gifts to those who ask him. He will give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I want to encourage you this morning. Thank you so much for your prayers, Sally. You know, I recognize loads of stuff going on in the life of the church and our families' lives, our own lives. Please be clear about this. When you pray, you come to a generous Heavenly Father. When you say, Lord, please, will you give me your peace? He is saying, I'm longing to give you my peace. When you say, Lord, would you forgive my sin because I really blew it on Thursday. Well, on Friday wasn't great either. You know, when you come to God honestly and say, Lord, would you forgive me? The Lord's saying, I'm longing to forgive you. It's actually what I do. When you come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you give me power to stand for you? Would you fill me with your spirit? God is saying, I can't wait. That's exactly what I want to do. Do you get? God is a generous God. All our thinking must begin with that. The next step is this. God calls us to a life of generosity. He calls us to live life generously. And I put it like that because so often when we talk about generosity, we have almost in mind the thought of spurts, you know, a generous spurt, you know, so, oh, be really generous in giving to that, as if this is an exceptional moment. I had a relationship with, forgive me, a garage down the road from me when we lived in Exeter. And whenever I went to buy flowers, there were lads at that particular garage, and I buy these flowers. I enjoy buying flowers. Not all the time, but I do give flowers to my wife, and it's not. But they would always make something of it, and they'd always say, "Oh, who's been a naughty boy then?" You know, it was always, it just became part of the relationship. You know, who's been a naughty boy? Well, I'm a minister. I visit people. Sometimes I would go in and buy two lots of flowers, and they made great spoilers. They said, who's been a really naughty boy then? Just on one occasion, I went and bought three, and they went to town on it. But it's that sense of being generous is something unusual. There must be something suspicious going on. God calls us to a life of generosity. Day by day, generosity, living generously. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 shows that God always, this is an amazing verse, isn't it? He always makes it possible for us to be generous. Hear it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Not spurts, but a life of generosity. That's how God wants us to live. When we think about generosity, we quickly think about amounts, don't we? It's interesting. The person who most exemplifies generosity in the New Testament is the widow. The widow's mite. It wasn't about amount, it was about heart. She had a generous heart. What she gave was piffling. What she gave wasn't going to make any difference to the temple coffers. It was the significant gifts of the Pharisees that might really change the books. But Jesus said the one who's cracked it, the one who's got it right, is the one who's got the heart of generosity, the widow who gave her all to God. My friends, we're called to a life of generosity, not occasional bursts of enthusiasm. That's what I would call the core teaching, okay? God is a God who by his nature is always generous, and he calls us to a life of generosity. It's not the end of the sermon, don't get excited. It's almost the dangerous part of the sermon, because you're all going to agree with that and say, yeah, yeah, came from Newbury, but I still agree. But what I want to do now is say, but what are we going to do about it? If you accept that God is a generous God, always generous, if you accept that he has always called you to be generous, what are we going to do about it? I want to talk about three things, and one could talk about many other things. These are just sort of three things that are illustrative. One of them is being generous with our homes. I think this is a big issue. Our homes are one of the most extraordinary expressions of God's generosity to us. You know, we need to praise the Lord, whether, you know, we're owner-occupiers or we're rented accommodated, it doesn't matter. We have secure places where we can live. God has given us those places to live. In the New Testament, there's a lot of teaching about what to do with your homes. Why? Because it's come from God. It's come from God's hands. It's part of God's generosity to you. Well, whoever has the title deeds to the property, it's neither here nor there. You have been given this space to look after. It's God's. That's the person with the real title deeds. He's the one who really owns what you've got. So what are you going to do with it? Time and again in the New Testament, we have teaching on what to do with your homes. Romans 12, 13, very significant. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It was a big issue for the early church because, of course, they didn't have churches. You know, we're so blessed to have church rooms like this. They would have met in homes. That's how they did fellowship. That's how they did the church. So they were reliant on the church people being generous in the use of their homes. 1 Peter 4:9 is interesting and shows a little bit of reality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, he says. Well, and I like that in the sense of it is actually quite costly to share your home. It's not the easiest thing. Being selfish would appear to be the easiest thing to do. It's our space. We look after it. My home's my castle. Drawbridge, up. You know, we're secure. You know, that's a natural way of thinking, isn't it? But if we're going to get this generosity thinking right, it's about saying, how do we use this amazing resource to further the kingdom of God? Interestingly, thinking about deacons' elections, one of the qualities necessary for deacons, church leaders, in two lists, 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8, is that they should be hospitable. One of the tests. Don't choose somebody who's not hospitable because they've missed the point. Hebrews chapter 13, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Abraham, remember. So what I'm saying to you is think about your home. I'm not telling you what to do with your home. I'm just saying God's given it to you. He's given your home to you as a resource to build his kingdom, to give blessing to the people around you, your neighbours, your friends, the fellowship. I think the reason this is particularly challenging is, I think, because of our national characteristic, which is to be quite close about the use of our homes. Having lived in the tropics, having lived in hotter countries where the ways of life are different and, you know, front doors are not shut throughout the day in the way they typically are. And you know, it does lead to different dynamics. I get all of that. But I think we need to hear this challenge to be hospitable. Challenge of our homes, challenge of our time. All of our time is a gift from God. All of our time. Being alive today, it's a gift of grace. You have no right. Do you think you have the right to be alive today? You don't have a right. It's a gift. God, in his mercy and grace, has given you this day to enjoy. So how are we going to use our time for God? How are we going to make sure that we're using our time in the way that God desires? It's very, very easy to be busy. Any idiot can be busy. Most idiots are. Do you know what I mean? You know, we can all fill our diaries. There's nothing clever about that. It's what we fill them with. I'm enjoying my squeaky voice. I don't know what it's going to do next. But what do we do with our time? Are we investing it in the work of the kingdom? Or are we just being blown along by the winds of our firm, the expectations of our career, expectations of our family, expectations of society generally? Or are we saying to the Lord, Lord, will you take and use our time in a way that pleases you? Yeah, I'm sure, I know there are many of you at times in life where this is a big question, whether you're going into a new period of education. And you need to be asking the question, am I using my time right? Am I doing the course that is absolutely right for me? Is this where God wants me to be? Amidst the myriad of courses that you could take, am I choosing the right course? Some of you looking at your career, are you using your energies in the way that the Lord would want? Maybe the Lord doesn't want you to go for that obvious promotion. Maybe the Lord is saying, actually, taking a step down would be better because you could have more time for other Christian way? I don't know, but I'm just saying it's the Lord's time. The time that you have is for him to use. How about your retirement plans? Oh, that's my time for God. And that, you know, that's I can do whatever I like. No. It's the Lord's time. How are you going to use that time in a way that will honour him? Whatever the issues are, the question is the same for all of us. How are we using our time? Not are we busy, therefore justified in hurtling around as we do. Not that. But are we making the right decisions? Are we using our time in the ways that the Lord would want? I'm nudging. And it's an issue for all of us. Are we using our time to best advantage? We can all of us, fritter time away. It's really nice that I don't know you that well. If I knew you well, you know, you'd be thinking, oh, he's getting at me because I don't know you well enough to get at you. I'm just saying it's an issue for all of us. That's what I'm saying. Using our time in the way that God would want. And finally, and you knew I'd get there, money. I deliberately haven't gone for money first off because it's predictable in a sense. But it's absolutely crucial that we go. I wanted to build up to it. God has given us everything we possess. Everything we have is a gift from him. He calls us to a life of generosity. Yes, with our homes. Yes, with our time. Yes, with our money. The big thing about money and why money has to be looked at is that money is a rival God. Money is a rival God. Money seeks our worship. It seeks our devotion. It seeks our commitment. It wants to take the whole of us. And Jesus said very bluntly, you've got to choose. You serve me or money. You can't have two gods. You've got to work that one out. And we can see. Is it interesting, isn't it? These words written in a totally different context. Written thousands of years ago, and yet it's exactly the same issue today. Isn't that amazing? But that's how it is. We have to make big decisions. I want you to hear this. God has made it possible for you to be generous with your money, continually generous with your money. Remember the widow with her mite. She was able to be. So it's not about amounts of money. Don't say to me, oh, well, if I get that promotion, I will then be able to be really generous. No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about your heart. You can be generous now with your money. Actually, out of those two colossal chapters on money, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, the basis of it was the generosity of the Macedonians, who were poor people, who didn't have an easy opportunity to give, but they gave themselves and generously gave money to the Lord. You can be generous. What's that going to look like practically? What's it going to be like to be generous with your money? I don't know what your teaching has been through the years on things like tithing. I have been privileged to have been brought up in a family that practiced tithing, and I did find it a great blessing. What was lovely in my home, family home, was the wealthiest person in the house. It was always known from a little boy, I always knew the wealthiest person in the house was God, and he had his money in the sideboard. And in the middle drawer, God had his box, the tithing box. And he always had more money than anybody else in the house. We always knew it. And, you know, on a Friday, if the milkman came, those sort of days, long ago. You know, it was often, oh, we need some more money. Oh, God will have it. We would always give it back to God, but he was the one who, he had the serious money in the house. And it was so good for us as children to be brought up in that environment. We give that money to the Lord, not because we want to restrict God to one-tenth, not that, but we take God so seriously that we'll make sure that's secure. He will definitely have that. And maybe other monies will be given as well. I don't actually think it's a New Testament law that you have to give a tithe of your income to the Lord. I think the New Testament law is that 100% of what you've got is the Lord's. That's the New Testament. But I do think, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we should be giving proportionately. He says, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with their income. Whatever your income is, I believe it is good that a proportion is set aside. So that's the Lord. So that's definitely going to the Lord because we want to make sure that God's work thrives. I encourage you in that. A friend of mine, a former RAF officer, he came to visit me on a Sunday once when I was preaching on tithing. And he sat at the back of the church. And he said, Jonathan, it's really interesting when you preach on tithing, because there was a part in your sermon when you started preaching about tithing. And he said, I could see people's necks. They sort of tightened as they prepared to receive this teaching on tithing. They tightened, you know. And I said, in this sermon, evidently, Paul picked it up. He said, I said, well, maybe the Lord isn't calling you to give a tithe. And he said, you could see them relaxing. Do you know? He said, you then blew it in the next sentence because you said, maybe the Lord is calling you to give 20% and they were tithe again. Maybe the Lord's calling you to give 50%. I'm not, in a sense, bothered. What I am concerned about is that you give in a disciplined way. I really, really, really speak to you into that. If you just give a 5 or a 10 or something, you hope it'll be enough. You know, I do encourage you to find a new basis for giving. Setting aside seriously an amount. A tithe is a place to begin. Just look at your money. And I would say this very seriously to you. I say it from myself because I know how easy it is. If you have set up a set payment with the banks, just look at that payment, because maybe you set it up 5 years ago and life has rolled on since then. Do revise the amount that you give to the church, especially if you give by bank transfer. Why am I saying these things? I'm saying them for this spiritual reason. This isn't like a long advert on behalf of the treasurer or something. This is about God. This is about the relationship God wants us to have with him, the generous God who calls us to a life of generosity. And you won't know the blessing. This is the reality. You won't know the blessing that God wants you to know unless you've cracked this money thing. Interesting, Martin Luther said there are two conversions. There's the conversion of the heart, when you find that God loves you, Jesus died on the cross for you, gave you new life. That's one conversion. And then he spoke of the conversion of the purse. And often it is some years later, actually, when suddenly you realize, actually, you've got to be serious about giving. I'd love you, if you've not had that second conversion, I'd love you to have it today, just because it would be such a blessing to you. There are such exciting things that we can do in this church. We're seeking to appoint a new senior minister, which is really exciting. But there are many other things we have on our heart to do. We are aware that the Desborough Hall is not there for another 1,000 years, let's say. You know, I mean, there are things we need to do. We'd love to make other appointments so the kingdom of God might grow in this place. And the reality is, time and time again, we cannot do, and I'm looking at the church generally, we can't do the things we'd love to do because we ain't got the money. I just urge you, church, to look seriously at this. If you would like to set up new payments, if you'd like to gift aid your gifts or whatever, all these things, Brian would love to. Is Brian around? Hi, Brian. You would put a very large smile on his face, an even larger smile on his face. You know, talk to him about the ways in which you can take a step forward. But here, before anything else, my key point, God has only ever been generous to you. So, church, live generously to his glory. Amen.